54 minutes after 10 p.m. This is Black Knight Meditations on WSCA 106.1 FM. Email address, blacknightmeditations@msn.com. The number here at the station, 603-430-9722. That's 430-WSCA. If you have any requests, comments, concerns, feedback, issues, whatever's on your mind, shoot me an email, give me a call, and try to be gentle with me. I appreciate all the kind comments. If you've got hate mail, fine, but try to say nice things to me, all right, guys, because I'm a sensitive man. DJ, can you confirm I'm a sensitive guy?
He sure is. He weeps easy, so just go eat.
And I don't know if I could call Richard Christie a sensitive guy. I don't know, Richard, do you think you're a sensitive man?
I'm very sensitive. I'm very ticklish, and I love to drink mimosas. I watch Christmas movies, so I guess I could be called sensitive.
Richard Christie, drummer for like almost every metal band in existence, and perhaps you've heard him on satellite radio, which is false radio, by the way, but I think, Richard, most of our listeners know exactly who you are, and we've been talking about you leading up to your phone call, so thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for leaving that Hail concert down in New York City a little bit early just to be on our show. We certainly appreciate it.
I heard you're going to see that tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right. I will be there tomorrow night. I'm really looking forward to it. What I'm also really looking forward to is seeing Charred Walls live. You've got this band, Charred Walls of the Damned. I don't know if we'll ever see your band live, but as you can tell, I'm going to start out, you know, pretty much with a right hook right now. Charred Walls live, is it going to happen?
It will definitely happen. We're talking with some booking agents right now. I got some meetings on Friday to talk about doing some shows. We'll probably shoot for mostly festival shows just because of all of our schedules.
Right.
That was one thing when I put this band together that my schedule on the Howard Stern show is pretty booked up, and we have some vacation time during the year, but I wanted other guys in the band that would understand that, you know, we can go on tour, but maybe only a week or two at a time, or do some festivals. So we're definitely planning on it. We won't be able to go out a month or two at a time like most bands, but, you know, it'll be kind of a special thing, and we definitely want to do some live shows.
Well, that's cool, and I've played Charred Walls of the Damned, the new album, which we've only had here for just a few days, but I've put it on the air a few songs now, and I'm really getting into the vibe of this record. You've got some newbies in metal in the band, Tim Owens, who is real new to metal. No one's ever heard of this guy, and Steve DiGiorgio on bass. I mean,
he's a metal virgin there.
Yeah, I mean, with Steve on bass, I mean, come on, these guys, I mean, where did you find these guys? Come on, they're buddies back in Kansas?
I got them right out of high school, these guys. Nobody knows them.
That's the best way to get them.
So, Richard, I've got my cohort, my partner in crime, DJ, here, who's a big fan of yours. He's a Stern.
Thank you very much.
I'm a Stern listener. I have been for a long time, and I when I heard that you had this album out, and I heard some of the songs that Howard played, and I said, you know, I got to have this guy. I got to, you know, Rich. So I said, Mark, can you set it up? Can you get Richard on? And he did.
Yeah, and
nice. Thank you guys very much for having me. I'm very honored, and I'm always excited to talk metal. I don't get to talk metal too much on the Stern show.
Yeah, well, what's
fine.
Up with that?
I love to do my comedy thing on there, but I always love talking metal too. So.
Yeah, I remember one of the times that you talked about it. You played that the band that has the dog that barks. You know, that was
K-9us.
Yeah, K-9us. Yeah. That was
I love them. I'm probably going to be playing drums on their next album, which I'm very excited about.
I don't really know
how the vibe is with the singer yet. I hope I hope everything's cool. I hope I don't get bitten in the studio or something.
Bring some milk bones and throw into them, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll just bring some nice gifts. You know, when I come to the studio, some milk bones or a nice chew toy or something. I think everything will be cool.
You're a multi-talented guy. You could do some backing barking vocals, you know, on the album. So, yeah. I mean, you've done just about everything else.
I can do a pretty good dog imitation. Yeah, I could do something like that.
That sounds like a new hit. You might want to write that down.
Well, you know, you've done just about everything else. Why not bark on an album? You know,
exactly.
What haven't you done?
You know, it's something new. I remember, you know, when in the early 90s, when I lived in Kansas, there was a death metal band, and their singer oinked like a pig. And I remember they were, like, really popular in Kansas because it was something new and a little bit different. And the guy, when he'd sing, he'd go like...
Nice.
And it was the funniest thing ever, but people thought it was really metal, so you never know.
Hey, pig metal, there's a market for anything.
Yeah. Someone will buy
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's another band. Have you guys heard of Hatebeak?
Hatebeak with the bird on vocal, yeah.
Oh, that bird rules, man. That yeah, I think Hatebeak and Caninus and the pig snort guy, they should all go on tour.
The Zoo Fest 2010.
There you go.
Yeah, it could be sponsored by, like, Petland or something.
It is. It's 11 p.m. This is Black Knight Meditations on WSCA 106.1 FM. We're speaking with Richard Christie, drummer extraordinaire, radio personality, actor. Damn it, Richard, is there anything you have not done that you still want to do?
Well, I haven't, you know, I haven't done porno. I haven't done.
Oh, sure, you haven't. You have, and we just haven't found out about it yet.
Someone hasn't stolen your tape yet.
Well, hopefully nobody's been filming me through my apartment window or anything like that. But, you know, I haven't done any cooking shows yet. Yeah. Although I can make a mean mimosa. But yeah, I've tried. You know, everything that I'm into, I try to get involved in, and luckily I've been able to do acting and comedy and metal and horror movies and a lot of the stuff that I'm really into. So I try to kind of dabble in a little bit of everything.
Well, before we get into the Charred Walls project, which is primarily why you're calling, I do want to ask you about one of the movies you made, the sequel that you had to subtitle Electric Boogaloo. Now, you know, you don't strike me as the breakdancing type, but there was a movie back in 85 called Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. And obviously you took the title from that film, but I have to wonder, Richard, are you a breakdancer?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm a little too old to breakdance. I think I'd pull my groin or something. I was never much of a rap guy. About the only rap I ever got into was Two Live Crew, and by then breakdancing was out of style, right. So... No, I'm a little too old and a little too got too much of a beer belly to do any breakdancing, but I am very, very flattered that you mentioned Evil Ned 3, The Return of Evil Ned 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo,
the movie that I did in 1995. I'm always flattered when somebody knows what the hell that is, because that's a movie I made when I was 19 years old. I borrowed a buddy of mine's video camera, put on a Halloween mask, and for the summer of 95 made it maybe possibly the worst, crappiest, low-budget movie of all time. So I'm very honored that you mentioned that.
Well, here we are how many years later, and we're talking about it. So, hey, you move
people.
Well,
this is going to be the 15th anniversary of Evil Ned 3, The Return of Evil Ned 2, Electric Boogaloo.
You need to do a special...
And I think we're going
to
have a 15th anniversary screening back in Missouri where I filmed it. So
Nice. It's
a very special year for crappy low-budget movies.
Well, we're going to expect the Blu-ray special edition out soon. So looking forward to that.
Digital card.
I don't think you could. I mean, it's like, what do they say? You can't polish a turd. I don't think Blu-ray is going to help that movie.
Well, you'll get dumbasses like us buying copies. So hey, why not, right? Okay, so
I think on Blu-ray you just see a little bit more how crappy and cheap the Halloween mask I was wearing is. And
but
and
that's the beauty.
You might see some of the pimples on my behind a little bit better. That's about it.
Okay, well, never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe you don't want to bring up Blu-ray. You know, because I do wear a G-string in that movie, so maybe you don't want to see it in Blu-ray.
No. Let's move on. on that note, let's get into Charred Walls of the Damned. Okay. All right. So obviously, this is a new band. And the new album comes out next week in the States, courtesy of Metal Blade Records. And like I said, we've only had it for a few days here. Of course, we have a digital copy now that all releases to media are digital. Remember CDs? Anybody remember CDs? It's like a thing of the past. It's so 90s. CDs are so 90s.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know the lyrics and haven't had the chance to look at a booklet to check out the artwork. But since this is a new group and people who are listening now probably are not overly familiar with Charred Walls, except for the songs that I played. So without going into too much detail, because you probably get asked this every time you talk about Charred Walls, give us a brief synopsis of what Charred Walls of the Damned is.
Well, Charred Walls of the Damned is myself, Richard Christie, Tim Ripper Owens, who formerly sang with Judas Priest, Steve DiGiorgio, who played bass in Sadus, Death, Control Denied and Iced Earth.
Killer Bird.
And Jason Sukoff, who is a well-known producer now, who did All That Remains, Black Dahlia Murder, Devil Driver. He's a really well-known producer. And it's basically, they're all good friends of mine, and they're all guys that I really admire as musicians. And about 2 years ago, I decided to put an album together of music that I had written, and I pretty much called these guys that are I guess you could call my dream team of a band. It's all guys that I'm friends with that I also really admire. And we made some music, and so far, a lot of people that have heard it have had a really hard time describing it, which I like.
I like that.
it's a mix of, you could say, every type of metal. There's so many subgenres of metal now, and I like them all. I love power metal, Viking metal, death metal, beer metal, everything. So there's a little bit, you know, a little dab of every type of metal in there. There's blast beats, but melodic vocals and super heavy death metal riffs, and also Iron Maiden-ish type riffs. So I would just say it's a heavy metal album. If you're a metal fan, I think you'll enjoy it. The songs are catchy. It's very traditional, but also there's some progressive and technical elements to it. And also, people have said it's very contemporary sounding, even though it does pay tribute to a lot of older bands that I love, like Merciful Fate and Iron Maiden. So,
great bands.
I guess I would just describe it as a good heavy metal album. I'm a metalhead and I love metal, and hopefully other metalheads will like it.
Killer.
What are you listening to right now? I mean, if you went into your car, are you just listening to metal?
I'm a massive Amon Amarth fan. The last Amon Amarth, Twilight of the Thunder God, is a masterpiece.
Absolutely awesome
and,
record.
And the one before it, I love even more, with Odin on Our Side.
Great
I
record.
Think is really one of the greatest all-time metal albums. It's just so heavy, and they're one of the few bands that has, I love bands that have death metal vocals, but they're one of the few where the death metal vocals are even sort of melodic, and I love that. I love that even though it's kind of the death metal growling type vocals, they're very catchy and melodic, and I love that. It kind of reminds me of old Morbid Angel. I love how old Morbid Angel, the vocals are growling but still really melodic, and same with Carcass. So Amon Amarth, and I love Coheed and Cambria. I'm a huge fan of theirs, and I still listen to old Dismember all the time. Yesterday, I listened to Indecent and Obscene. That's one of my all-time favorite metal albums. So I just kind of a plethora of everything, you know, old. So I'm always listening to old King Diamond, and love Wrathchild America, and
Wrathchild
Rage
America
from Germany. I love, and so
you mentioned
it's kind of a mixed bag, I guess you could say.
You mentioned Wrathchild America. Do you remember their video for "Surrounded by Idiots"?
Oh, absolutely!
They filmed it in
video.
Times Square.
I've been very lucky that in the past few years I've become very good friends with Shannon Larkin, who is a drummer
right,
in Wrathchild America, and he's currently in Godsmack, and he's done really well for himself. He's such a cool guy, and we're both huge horror movie fans. So every time I get a new horror movie off Netflix and it's good, he's the first person that I text message and say, dude, you got to check out Martyrs from France, or you got to check out REC from Spain, like all these real underground horror movies. Where we're always texting each other, so he's kind of my horror insider drumming buddy. So that's pretty cool. And do you guys got time for a quick story about maybe my favorite live concert moment of all time?
Dude, seriously, we have all the time that you have for us. As long as you
okay,
want to go on, as long as
I'm
you want to go
Kansas
on,
and I can get a little long winded. We love to talk there.
I love to have long conversations with people. You got us for as long as you want us. No problem. Go
okay,
for it.
Cool.
Go for
well,
it.
Well, I wanted to tell you. Speaking of Wrathchild America, I got to tell you about my favorite concert moment of all time. It's 1995. I'm living in Springfield, Missouri. Me and my buddies go see Ugly Kid Joe, and opening up for them is the band Souls at Zero, which is Wrathchild America, but they changed their name and they went to a little bit different of a sound in the early 90s. They changed to more of a hardcore sound. And Soul to Zero is an awesome band, too. But I mainly went because I was just a huge Wrathchild America fan, and I just wanted to see all those guys live. And also at the time, Shannon Larkin was playing in Ugly Kid Joe. So we went to the show, and we were watching Soul to Zero, and it was amazing. They sounded incredible. But all of a sudden, me and three of my buddies from Missouri, Froggy, Brandon, and Dingo, we all started chanting Silent Darkness over and over and over, which is my favorite all-time Wrathchild America song and one of my favorite metal songs ever from Climbing the Walls. And so Brad Divins, the singer, he looks down at us. It's all these people there to see Ugly Kid Joe and four guys chanting Silent Darkness, an old Wrathchild song. So he looks down and goes, you know, we haven't played this freaking song in 6 years, but we're going to play it for these four hardcore guys right here. And they went into Silent Darkness, and I was in heaven. It was like my soul left my body and was just headbanging above me. It was the greatest thing of all time, and that's something that I always appreciated, that a band, you know, they would appreciate these four guys out of the probably 700 or 800 or 1,000 people that were there. They looked down and played that song for me and my buddies, and that really was pretty much the coolest thing I've ever seen live.
That's always a cool moment when something like that happens. Pick you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing your favorite song that you can't wait to hear.
It was
so cool that they even acknowledged us, and then they did this song that they hadn't rehearsed or hadn't played in 6 years. It was crazy, and I don't think I've ever went more nuts and banged my head harder at a concert ever.
Well, what did you think of, I remember when Wrathchild America, you know, they put out the 3D record, and then shortly after that they changed their name to Souls of Zero and changed their sound. What was your initial impression when that happened with a band you liked? Because when it happened, it was during the 90s, and commercially speaking, I mean, metal thrived in the 90s, but commercially speaking, it didn't. I mean, did that send, you know, warning bells off in your mind, whereas a band, you know, was kind of like a thrash band in the 80s, all of a sudden is changing their sound in the 90s? How did that make you feel with a band you loved doing that?
Yeah, you know, honestly, as much as I love Souls of Zero, it did bum me out because Wrathchild America just had the perfect sound, and then Souls of Zero is more of a kind of straightforward Helmet sounding band or Biohazard type band, and I love that type of music too. But to me, Wrathchild America just had the perfect mix of, they were thrash, but they were also very melodic, and they were really technical, and just had these really catchy songs. And to me, they were the perfect metal band, and I was actually really, really bummed when they changed to Souls at Zero. And I can understand why they did it, because, you know, as a band, if you're doing a band for a living, it is so hard to make a living out of it, and I can attest to that because I lived in a storage unit for 8 years.
Yes,
and it's very hard to make a living, and a lot of people don't understand that, you know, the music is also a business, but you really do need to stick with what you love, because that's what you'll do best, and you really got to follow your heart. And I don't know, I guess they thought, you could tell that even with Souls of Zero that they were really into it. They were still amazing, but I kind of understand in a way why they changed their sound, but I was really honestly bummed out about it because I was such a huge Wrathchild America fan, and I was especially bummed that I never got to see Wrathchild America live, and that's pretty much the one reunion that has not happened yet that I'm just keeping my fingers crossed for, that Wrathchild America will get back together and do some shows, because I would – I would fly to Japan to see that. I would freak out if they ever got back together.
Well, I was one of the many kids back in the 80s and early 90s that would watch the Headbangers Ball on MTV every Saturday night. And even though most of what they played was crap every week, you know, you'd have to sit through, you know, like 2 hours of either alternative videos or rock videos just to see a creator video. But
exactly.
I remember
exactly that most of the good videos were in the last 20 minutes of Headbangers Ball.
They rarely didn't play, you know, a lot of the heavy real metal. I mean, sure, they played a lot of the hard rock stuff, and I understand why they did that. And in the 90s, it became an alternative show, which is just ridiculous. But, you know, I'll always remember watching Headbangers Ball, and I'd always just crack up whenever they'd play the Surrounded by Idiots video, because you've got this band performing this song called Surrounded by Idiots in the daytime in Times Square. And it's hilarious. So
I know. That's another thing that I loved about Wrath Child America is they had such a great sense of humor. They were like a fun
right.
band.
Yeah.
They never really took themselves too seriously, even though they were super talented and just such amazing musicians. But you could tell they were just having fun, too. And I remember, do you remember the bonus song that's on 3D?
No, I don't remember a bonus song. I never had a bonus song. Oh.
Yeah, it's called I'm Not Drunk, I'm Just Drinking.
Oh, right, I'm Drinking, I'm Not Drunk. Yeah, okay, I do remember that. Yes, okay, I do remember that.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that since.
There, too, that shows that they're just, you know, they're just guys having fun and enjoying themselves. And I love their instrumentals, too, which were amazing, like Prego, which had every style of music thrown in, and you know, they were just, I don't know, they were so incredible. And my buddies Chris, the drummer from Lamb of God, and Jason from Shadows Fall, they're both huge Wrath Child America fans. I remember that's what we really bonded over when I first met those guys in 2003. I remember going on Lamb of God's bus, and we just jammed out 3D.
Yeah,
full blast, and we were all air drumming to it, which was awesome.
Yeah, I have to admit, I haven't listened to Wrath Child America in quite some time. It has been a while, but I was one of those guys where, you know, back in the 90s when the thrash bands especially were changing their sound, whether they were going commercial or just quitting on us, it's like, you know, it became so disillusioned with the popular bands doing that. Or I guess I give Wrath Child America credit for at least changing their name as opposed to going on. So I give them credit for that. Whereas the other thrash bands obviously went much more commercial, the obvious American ones, and no names needed. I think we all know who we're talking about. you know, you referenced earlier about living in a storage unit, and clearly you don't have to do that anymore because now you're a millionaire being on the Howard Stern show.
You're drowning
in cash. You've got chicks everywhere.
I don't know what you're a
celebrity.
Consider a millionaire, but I'm far from it. Definitely.
Is that I mean, I know you're a fabulous drummer. I mean, but is that really like a dream job being on Howard Stern show?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, back as far as 1995, 1996, I was always a massive Howard Stern fan. I remember being out on tour with Death, and I had my Walkman headphones with me, and I would wake up at 6 in the morning. If I knew that we were driving through a town that Howard was on the radio, Chicago, I would wake up, I would plan our trip so that I would wake up and be able to listen to Howard's show.
Yeah.
I mean, I was always a massive fan, and even when the Death Sound of Perseverance album came out, I remember I found the address for the Howard Stern show, and I mailed a copy of Sound of Perseverance to the show, just hoping that maybe they'd play it for some of their bumpers. And sure enough, 2 days later, they played Spirit Crusher in one of their bumpers, and Howard was humming along to it. And that was like a dream come true. I remember I recorded it on cassette when Howard played Spirit Crusher, and I played it for Chuck, and we were both so excited because we were both like big Howard fans. So I've been a fan forever, and I just, you know, I've always, starting in the late 90s, just had different ideas when I'd listen to the show. I was an electrician at the time for 12 years, from the age of 18 to the age of 30. I was an electrician while I was playing in bands during the day. That was my day job. And the show would really help me get through the day and get through my job. And I just would listen to the show during the day, and while I was working as an electrician, I'd get ideas for songs or bits, and when I went home after band practice, I'd record stuff and send it off to Howard, and sure enough, like a few days later, he'd play it, and I'd be at work listening while I was digging a ditch, laying some conduit pipe for an apartment building. I'd hear one of my songs get played, and it was really the greatest feeling ever. And then when I had the chance to audition to work there, I remember a buddy of mine, Jason in Pennsylvania, who put out the Crotch Duster album. He has a record label in Pennsylvania. He called me and he said, "Dude, did you hear about this chance to audition for a job on the Howard Stern Show?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Dude, you got to do it. You're the perfect person. You got to try out." And sure enough, I sent a demo, an audition CD into Howard, and they played it a few days later, and Howard said, "Yeah, we want this guy to try out for the job." And, it all kind of started there, and I tried out for the job, and luckily I got the job, and now it's really, I spent 12 years working as an electrician, getting shocked with 277 volts and bending conduit every day and digging ditches. So now when I go to work, at 5 a.m. to start working, and I'm making prank phone calls and making goofy songs, it really is a dream come true, and I appreciate it every day. I can never complain about a job that is so fun and so rewarding, and it's really amazing. I right now I'm looking at my apartment building in New York City, and being from Kansas, it's just such a freaky thing to think about.
It's got to be overwhelming.
I'm so thankful for it.
You said you're phoning phone calls, if you don't mind me talking about that a little bit.
That's fine. Yeah.
I laugh all the time. And some of my favorites are you calling the pharmacy and with that. that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was from a dirty movie that I found online. Yeah,
if you guys,
I think a fan actually sent me that movie and said, "You got to listen to this guy. He sounds hilarious." So.
And calling the mechanic when you went in the buckets. Was that you going into the buckets?
It was me. Well, the mechanic call, I'll start with that. The mechanic call was from some recordings I had made at the airport when I was
yes.
not feeling very good. And, I had a little bad things happening down in the bowel area. So I made some recordings of that and used it in a prank call. And I told a mechanic that, that was sounds of my car backfiring, and he was like, "Wow, that sounds pretty bad."
Sounds like a loose spark plug.
That's where that came from. But what you're thinking of, I think, is I told a story on the air one time about I was in a death metal band called Public Assassin in Missouri back in the early 90s, and it was my first real band that I ever played in, and we were playing a community center in Joplin, Missouri. There was about 5 people at the gig. There was about 20 bands, and we were like the 20th band to play.
Oh, so they were
and
excited.
So we're just sitting around bored out of our minds in this community center, nothing to do. We're sitting in the kitchen, which is the backstage, and our singer gets a bright idea that one of us should move our bowels into a Folgers can and cook it in the oven. So sure enough, I was the one to do it, and so we do that into the Folgers can. And throw it in the oven and go on stage, play our hour-long set. The community center fills up with smoke. It's the worst-smelling smoke you'd ever smell in your life.
Sounds like a great idea.
I don't know if you've ever cooked your bowel movements, but
no, sorry, I can't say that I have.
Like it's like the size of a penny or something. I guess most of it's water because it shrivels up, but it was one of the funniest things ever when we got to pull that Folgers can out of the oven.
After tonight, I'm not sure if I can listen to your music quite the same way anymore.
Yeah, I hope this doesn't affect the enjoyment of our music in any way.
Well, I don't know why it's making me think this, but just the story you just told makes me wonder where, and you can draw your own conclusions of how I thought of this, but where you came up with the name Charred Walls of the Damned, because after that story, I kind of have to wonder, with your sense of humor, if there's a connection there.
Well, it's funny. I love telling the story of how the band name came about because it actually came about from something during my work at the Howard Stern Show. And, you know, I mean, you guys know how it is. These days, there's so many bands, and every cool band name has been taken by now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm convinced that there are no good band names left unless you make up your own word or you find some alien language or something like that to come up with a cool band name. Because I went through the dictionary, I searched all over the internet, I watched every horror movie, I even went so far as to try and scramble letters together and come up with my own word. And for like 2 months, I couldn't come up with a good band name. And I was convinced. I was like, what in the heck am I going to call this band? And so finally, one day, just, you know, I guess the metal gods kind of threw me a bone and gave me a good band name, because I was doing a prank call with my buddy Sal Governale, who's known as Sal the Stockbroker on the Howard Stern Show. We do these prank calls where we call these tradio stations.
Those are great.
And what tradio is this is something that I discovered when I lived in Kansas. It's a radio show. It's like eBay on the radio, where you can call up and say you got a tractor for sale. You'll say, hey, I got a tractor for sale, $20. You know, call whatever number and you can buy it from me. And so there's these radio shows all over the country. And we were calling one down in the deep south, and it happened to be a very religious Christian tradio show. And the whole radio station was very religious. And so we were pranking them for a couple days. And one of the things that we love to do is they'll even read, if you email them an item, they'll read it. And so we were emailing them the most ridiculous items in the world. Like a fudge packing kit and a golden shower and just weird stuff like that. And they would read it on the air, and they didn't even know that what they were reading was very filthy, you know. And so I guess somebody tipped them off, and we were listening a couple days later waiting for them to read a few more emails. And all of a sudden they come on the air and they go, we got to talk about something very serious today. We've had a couple of hooligans that have been sending in fake emails and having us read some very naughty stuff on the air. And you could tell they were so upset. They were so angry. And then right away they started saying that we need to turn our lives to Jesus and stop prank calling, and that we were going to go to hell. And unless we accepted Jesus into our hearts, we'd be scratching our nails on the charred walls of the damned. And when I heard that, Sal looked at me, and I looked at Sal, and Sal knew I was trying to come up with a band name, and I hadn't been successful. And he looks at me, he goes, dude, that's your band name. And I was like, yes. And right away, the first thing I did is I Googled charred walls of the damned, and nothing came up, not even that phrase. And I guess this religious guy was in such a tizzy that he just made up some phrase right off the top of his head, or maybe he heard it in church. And right away, I trademarked the name, and I was like, wow, it's, you know, not only is it a cool name, it's a little bit long, and people say, yeah, it's a little bit wordy, but I think it's got a nice ring to it. And also, I love telling the story of how it came about.
It's definitely a metal.
Yeah, I was going to say the church. The church is one of the Christian church is one of the biggest providers of material in metal.
Exactly. They've made up the greatest metal band names ever. Like, right off the top of my head, I'm thinking Metal Church. I mean, that's absolutely an awesome band name.
Yeah, Exodus, Testament, Metal Church, absolutely. And, I mean, just whether their actions or what they say or trying to get you to turn to Jesus, I mean, look what you got out of it. You got out a killer band name that has absolutely nothing to do with the story you were telling earlier, you know? Because I'm thinking with your sense of humor, you know, I could even see you coming up with a band name like, I don't know, like Charred Walls of My Ass or something, you know? Something completely ridiculous. Are off the wall. So, you know,
I wanted this band, and a lot of people have asked me because they know I'm a comedian and they know I work for the Howard Stern Show, and they're like, is this a serious band or is this a comedy thing? And I'm like, this band
sounds
is
pretty serious
absolutely
to me.
Serious. Yeah. This is something, you know, I treat metal very, very seriously, and I do love comedy metal. I love Crotch Duster. I love Death Clock. I love Spinal Tap. But, you know, I have my day job where I do comedy, and for this, I want it to be total metal and totally serious and totally straightforward. So, you know, I've done other kind of comedy metal things. Like I did a low budget cheap movie called Majestic Loincloth with, along with my buddy Jason Sukoff. And that was a lot of fun, but you know, for this, I wanted it to be just straightforward heavy metal that people could just bang their heads to.
Well, like I said, I've only had the album for a few days, but immediately what struck me when listening to these songs is exactly what you said earlier. It's got so many elements from the different subgenres of metal, and I'm always looking for bands that are able to combine elements of like the power metal, traditional, thrash, death, black, everything, and sort of mix it together without sounding like they're trying to do that, but like it sounds natural. And that's one of the things that struck me immediately when listening to this. I'm like, able to combine those different genres, but yet I don't feel like it's done for the purpose of saying, well, we got to have a death metal part here and we got to have like a soaring power metal part here or anything like that. It sounds very natural. And that's what got me first about the record, is how it's able to manage to blend, but yet sound honest. And that's what I really dig about it. You know,
thank you very much. I mean, you know, I played in all types of metal bands. I played in Death and Iced Earth, and I had a death metal band called Burning Inside, and played in Incantation, and all of that has definitely influenced me. I've always been a huge fan of every kind of metal, and I never really thought about, when I was writing the riffs for this album and writing the music, I didn't really think about what type of metal I wanted to be. I just wanted to be metal, and I love everything from Morbid Angel and Dismember and Malevolent Creation to Iron Maiden and Merciful Fate and Rage and Rats Out of America to, you know, even like some of the lesser heavy bands like Love Hate and stuff like that. So I just, it's kind of a, I guess you could say, conglomeration of all the types of metal that I love, which is pretty much every type of metal, every extreme you can think of, and even black metal. I'm a huge fan of Immortal and bands like that, and Emperor. And so it wasn't really a conscious thought to put everything in there. It's just how it came out. Some of the songs, like the very first song, Ghost Town, was written mostly on the drums, and I was just rehearsing one day in Brooklyn where I practiced drums and playing some really fast drum beats and playing some blast, and I came up with some drum beats that I really liked and took them back to my apartment and wrote guitar parts, and I thought it turned out pretty cool, and I thought it'd be a kind of a fun thing to have elements of death metal like blast beats and things like that, but also melodic vocals and melodic riffs. And you know, I just I don't think there should be any limitations on what kind of metal you're playing. If you want to throw a blast beat in there, that's awesome. I'm a huge fan of like Pete Sandoval and Derek Roddy and George Tobias from Nile.
Great drummers.
And I love that kind of drumming, and I don't see any reason why you can't have brutal death metal drumming along with very melodic vocals.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. I wish more bands would explore the possibility of, you know, if a band is like, say, comes from the power genre, even the death genre, I mean, you know, bands are what they are and they have their influences, but I'd like to hear more bands exploring the different styles, incorporating different styles into metal. And that's, again, that's what I liked about the Charred Walls record, is hearing that. And I'd like to hear more of that in metal. One thing I do want to ask you about the songwriting, you've touched on songwriting for this. When you were writing these songs, did you have it in mind for a specific project, or were you just writing the music and then you were going to work out who was going to be on it, what the name was, all that? Was that after the fact, or did you have something more concrete in mind when writing these songs?
No, you know, when I was writing, I've actually been writing riffs for years and years. I used to write a lot of riffs for my old band Burning Inside, and then when I moved to New York, I just continued to Well, I practice drums every day. When I moved to New York, I still played drums about an hour a day, but I also started playing guitar a lot more. And you know, 3 or 4 years ago, I started putting together a kind of a library of riffs, and about 2 years ago, I started kind of assembling everything into songs, and just mostly to do it for fun. And I got together about 6 or 7 songs just for fun, just to do, and kind of because I enjoy making music, and I didn't really have any plans for it. And then I thought, well, you know what, maybe I should think about calling up Jason and maybe just going down to Audio Hammer Studios and recording an album just for the love of writing music. And so it was pretty much just a very loose kind of beginning, I guess you could say. I just wrote the music just for the love of it, and just because I love creating stuff. I love, you know, on the Stern Show, creating comedy bits, and also I love creating metal music, and I'm lucky enough to have the means to have a little home studio in my apartment here in New York. And once I got enough songs together, I called up Jason and I said, hey, I have these songs that I'm really excited about. I'd love to just come down one summer and do an album. We'll just hang out and have fun. And Jason and I have been friends for a long time, and we just love hanging out. So he was really into it. And then I thought, well, who should I get for bass and vocals? And right away I thought of Steve and Tim. And that's once I got a hold of Steve and Tim and Jason, and they were really into it, that's when I really started to think, well, I should, you know, treat this very seriously and treat this as a band. And that's when I mentioned that I was putting something together with these guys. I mentioned it to Brian Slagle when we were at Gigantour about a year and a half ago, and he said he really, really wanted to hear it. And so I played him the demos, and he was really into it. It was just the rough demos of me playing all the instruments, and he really liked it. And I played him some of the stuff with Tim singing, and so that's when it kind of all came together, thanks to Brian Slagle and thanks to Jim and Jason, Tim, and Steve. So yeah, it was kind of, I guess you could say, loose beginnings, but about a year and a half ago is when it really started to take shape and become an actual band.
Yeah, cool. I just want to switch some gears going back to Howard. Is it hard to record the prank phone calls?
It's always different. It's never a certain way. It's, you know, sometimes we'll call 200 different people before we get a good one, and then sometimes the very first person will be great. So it's kind of a crapshoot, I guess you could say. And then
you have to get their permission.
It's worth it, though. It's so much fun. It does, even like anything, though. You know, if you're calling 200 people in a row, it gets a little frustrating. But you know, in the end, it all pays off. And it's kind of hard, but you know what? I could never ever complain about it. It's so much fun and so rewarding, and basically I'm getting paid to goof off, so I could never ever complain about that.
Did you ever regret a prank phone call that you did? Like, you felt bad?
No, not really. You know, it's never gotten, we kind of treat it very, you know, we're kind of, even though it might not seem like it, we're pretty gentle. If somebody is getting too upset, we, you know, we'll leave them alone. Yeah. A lot of these tradio shows, after we call them a few times, we'll leave them alone. I don't know. I'm from Kansas, and I'm kind of like easygoing, and I do have a conscience, and I don't like to upset people too much. You know, we'll push a few people's buttons, but once it gets to a certain point, we'll back off.
No,
so
you have to.
No, we've always been pretty gentle as far as that goes, even though it might not seem like it.
Yeah, you have to get their permission, right, to get this stuff to go on the air. Because you.
Yeah, and that's the scariest thing. You know, we've got calls that are just pure gold that we can never air because we didn't get the people's permission.
Do you try to go back to them?
To me, the scariest thing is calling back for that permission. When you know you have a call that's a home run,
yeah,
and that person says no, it's one of the most heartbreaking things ever. And that's definitely one of the drawbacks to prank phone calls.
Now, I mean, have you ever tried going back to them and say, hey, please, this is for, you know, Howard Stern show, or they just, like, hang up on you? They just don't
want to... you know, we usually just try for permission once. We're straightforward with them. We tell them, hey, we're from the Howard Stern show, and, you know, we're totally legitimate with it, and we just say, hey, can we play this call on the air that we call with you to the Howard Stern show and have your permission to use your voice? And it's either a yes or no answer. If they say yes, then we're excited. If they say no, we just say, okay, well, we're very sorry to use up your time, and thank you very much. And that's pretty much the end of it. So it's pretty much a cut and dry thing. And you know, it is a very scary thing. That's the scariest part of doing these, is just keeping your fingers crossed, hoping they'll say yes.
Now, there's talk about Howard, leaving at the end of this year. Any thoughts on your future? I mean, you and Sal doing a show, or are you going to focus more on your music?
Well, you know, that's all definitely up in the air. I mean, my only thoughts right now are that I'm really hoping that Howard is going to re-sign. I love this job, and I can't imagine working for anybody else. I don't know that I would want to do another radio show if Howard retired, because how can it ever get better than working for Howard? I mean, that's really, I have the best job I could ever dream of. So as far as working in radio, I don't know that I could ever do it without Howard, because he's really the greatest boss ever. He's a super nice guy, and he's the funniest person I know. So I really don't know. I'm kind of, you know, I'm trying not to think about it too much, because my buddy Sal Governale, one of the greatest pieces of advice he ever gave me is most people spend 90% of their time worrying about things that will never happen. Until something happens, you shouldn't worry about it.
I totally agree.
Now I'm trying to not worry about it. I'm kind of living in the moment and enjoying every day that I work on the Stern Show, and really enjoying the positive response I've got from this album, and really looking forward to people hearing this album. And just, you know, I'm kind of living day by day. Life is short, and you got to just kind of think about your near future and the present as much as possible.
Speaking of that, I got one more question for you. Everyone's worried about Artie. To be honest, I haven't listened the past week on for the show, so I'm not sure if there's any new updates. But what are your thoughts on Artie?
Well, we're all praying for Artie. Artie is such an awesome guy. He's been so nice and so supportive to me. He's taken me out on the road to do comedy shows with him, and he's just such a sweet guy. And we're all just praying for him. I don't really have any more info or updates other than what Howard has said on the air, and we're just, you know, hoping that he gets better, and just really hoping that that he's okay, and he's an awesome guy. He's one of the only fellow metalheads on the Stern Show. Yeah. I love whenever he references Merciful Fate or Venom, and you know, we kind of bond over that. And Artie's—he's just such a good guy and such a great guy to hang out with, and we're really pulling for him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I will say, Richard, that one of your duties has to be, and maybe you've already tried, you got to convert those guys over there to metal. I mean, that should have been, you should say, you know what, no more prank phone calls, no more nothing until you guys become metalheads, start banging your head, holding the horns high, or that's it, I'm out of here. And I'm going to do a real radio show on a real radio station, none of this satellite nonsense. You got to convert them, Richard, come on.
Well, I got to stick up for my satellite. They've been very good to me. I love
that's cool.
SiriusXM radio, and you know, I get a lot of letters from metal fans in even Sweden and Europe that are able to listen to satellite radio too now. Okay, so that's one thing that I really love about it. And you know, we got Jose on Liquid Metal, and I really have to stick up for satellite radio. I love it, and but I love any, you know, like what you guys are doing too. I love you know, you guys are really supporting metal, and
absolutely.
I'm very familiar with your show, and I listen to a lot of the interviews you guys do, and it's awesome. You know, we got a metal is a very, very, it's like a family. We're all very supportive of each other. And you know, the thing is, it's kind of like if, I don't know, my thinking is if you don't get into metal when you're young, it's kind of a little bit hard to get into it when you're older. So I don't know that I would be very good at converting Howard and all them
guys. I don't
guys.
Think you're ever going to get Howard.
I've been a metalhead since I was, I started listening to Kiss when I was about 5, but then got into Iron Maiden and the heavier stuff when I was 10. So for me, it's a life thing. I've been a metalhead for life as far as I'm concerned. And it's very hard to convert people. I've tried, though. I've got Howard to play 6 Feet Under and Cannibal Corpse, and he's played Death and Iced Earth. So, I'm trying to do my part in getting the metal out there to the masses.
Well, keep it up, brother. Keep it up. We more metal over the airwaves, whether terrestrial radio, satellite radio, internet radio, more metal, always a good thing. Richard, thanks a lot for your time, man. You've been on with us for a really, really long time. We certainly appreciate it. We want to remind everybody that Charred Walls of the Damned is out next Tuesday here in the States, courtesy of Metal Blade Records. And we're going to keep spinning this record, Richard. And again, we certainly appreciate your time. And hopefully when we turn into Howard, like the next 2 weeks, we'll hear nothing but metal. But if not, hey, I understand. But
thank you guys so much. It was so fun and so awesome to talk to you guys. And I can't thank you enough for saying the nice things about my album and all the nice things about me. I really, really appreciate it. And what you guys are doing is amazing. I mean, supporting metal and just your metal knowledge is awesome. The fact that you know Wrathchild America and especially that you know Evil Ned 3, The Return of Evil Ned 2, Electric Boogaloo. That really blows my mind.
It's all about the breakdancing, man.
It's a definite honor for me, and I really appreciate it, guys.
This is a treat for me. I'm glad that you came on tonight. Yeah. This is awesome.
This is awesome. Thanks a lot, man. I still worship the death stuff. I love Iced Earth, and so that's why I followed you through your career, because you've been on some quality metal releases, and you've got another one with Charred Walls of the Damned.
We're
going to be spinning this a lot, man.
It's a real exciting time, and I'm so glad to be back out there pounding the drums and making some metal, and I really appreciate that.
Well, hopefully we'll see Charred Walls of the Damned on tour. Even if it's just a few dates in East Coast, West Coast, whatever, we want to see you guys live, and we're looking forward to it. And Richard, thank you again for your time. Certainly appreciate it. Take care, and horns up, brother.
All right, horns up, guys. Right. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.